Let's read together Jeremiah chapter 24, verse 1 through Jeremiah chapter 25, verse 11. Now, in this portion of Scripture, we have another object lesson that God gave Jeremiah, an object lesson about good and bad figs. We also have the prediction of the duration of the Babylonian captivity. It would be for 70 years. Let's begin by reading Jeremiah chapter 24. The Lord showed me, and there were two baskets of figs set before the temple of the Lord after Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, had carried away captive Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, and the princes of Judah with his craftsmen and smiths from Jerusalem and had brought them to Babylon. One basket had very good figs, like the figs that are first ripe, and the other basket had very bad figs, which could not be eaten. They were so bad. Then the Lord said to me, "What do you see, Jeremiah?" And I said, "Figs, the good figs, very good, and the bad, very bad, which cannot be eaten. They are so bad." Again, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, like these good figs, so will I acknowledge those who were carried away captive from Judah, whom I have sent out of this place for their own good into the land of the Chaldeans. For I will set my eyes on them for good, and I will bring them back to this land. I will build them and not pull them down, and I will plant them and not pluck them up. Then I will give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God, for they shall return to me with their whole heart. And as the bad figs, which cannot be eaten, they are so bad, surely thus says the Lord, so will I give up Zedekiah, the king of Judah, his princes, the residue of Jerusalem who remain in this land, and those who dwell in the land of Egypt. I will deliver them to trouble into all the kingdoms of the earth for their harm, to be a reproach and a byword, a taunt and a curse in all places where I shall drive them. And I will send the sword, the famine, and the pestilence among them until they are consumed from the land that I gave to them and their fathers." Let's begin our study of this portion of God's word with some background notes. We see in verse 1 that this prophetic message came to Jeremiah after Jeconiah, that is Jehoiakim, had been taken to Babylon by Nebuchadnezzar as a captive. We see that a number of other captives were also taken to Babylon at this time. And we know from the book of Ezekiel that the prophet Ezekiel was one of those other captives. The year was 597 BC, and this was the second wave of deportation of captives to Babylon. Remember, the first wave was in 605 BC, when Daniel and others of the nobility were taken captive. The reference here in Jeremiah chapter 24 is to the second wave in 597 BC. Now, there will be a third and final wave in 586 BC. That's when Jerusalem and the temple were destroyed, and the majority of the Jewish people were either killed or taken as captives to Babylon. So at the time of this prophetic vision of the figs in Jeremiah chapter 24, there are two distinct groups of Jewish people: those who have already gone as captives to Babylon and those who are still living in Jerusalem and the land of Judah. In the vision, Jeremiah saw two baskets of figs placed in the temple courts in Jerusalem. One basket contained good, delicious figs, and the other basket contained bad, rotten figs. The Lord made sure that Jeremiah saw the obvious difference. Verse 3, "Then the Lord said to me, 'What do you see, Jeremiah?' And I said, 'Figs, the good figs, very good, and the bad, very bad, which cannot be eaten. They are so bad.'" The two baskets of figs represented the two different groups of people: the captives in Babylon and the people still living in Judah, now under King Zedekiah. But which group of Jewish people were represented by which basket of figs? Who were the good figs and who were the bad figs? And that brings us to our doctrinal points for this portion of God's word. So doctrinal point number one: the Jewish captives in Babylon would be the good figs. The Jewish captives in Babylon would be the good figs. In verse 4, the Lord begins his interpretation of the vision to Jeremiah and explains who was represented by the good figs and who was represented by the bad figs. Now, we might think at first that the good figs represented those folks that God allowed to stay in the land, and the bad figs represented the captives in Babylon. But no, It was just the opposite. The good figs represented the captives in Babylon. Verse 5. Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, like these good figs, so will I acknowledge those who were carried away captive from Judah, whom I have sent out of this place for their own good into the land of the Chaldeans. God would watch over them and build them up and bring them back from captivity to the land of Judah. Verse 6. For I will set my eyes on them for good, and I will bring them back to this land. I will build them and not pull them down, and I will plant them and not pluck them up. And out of these good figs would come a godly remnant that would know and love the Lord with their whole heart. Verse 7. Then I will give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God, for they shall return to me with their whole heart. Think of Daniel and Ezekiel and Zerubbabel and Ezra and Haggai and Zechariah and Nehemiah and Malachi and on to the Maccabees and others who were part of this godly remnant. This godly remnant preserved the Old Testament scriptures while they were in captivity in Babylon. And it was through this godly remnant that the Messiah was born. But the people who remained in the land at the time of the Babylonian captivity were the bad figs. They followed the evil ways of wicked King Zedekiah. Verse 8. And as the bad figs, which cannot be eaten, they are so bad, surely thus says the Lord, so will I give up Zedekiah, the king of Judah, his princes, the residue of Jerusalem who remain in this land, and those who dwell in the land of Egypt. Many tried to escape to Egypt, but continued their idolatry there. Therefore, these bad figs would be scattered, verse 9, and be destroyed by sword, famine, and pestilence, verse 10. I will deliver them to trouble into all the kingdoms of the earth for their harm, to be a reproach and a byword, a taunt and a curse in all places where I shall drive them. And I will send the sword, the famine, and the pestilence among them until they are consumed from the land that I gave to them and their fathers. All of this, of course, came true. The Jewish captives in Babylon would be the good figs. Doctrinal point number 2. The Jewish captivity in Babylon would be for 70 years. The Jewish captivity in Babylon would be for 70 years. Jeremiah chapter 25, verses 1 through 11. The word that came to Jeremiah concerning all the people of Judah in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, which was the first year of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, which Jeremiah the prophet spoke to all the people of Judah and to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, from the 13th year of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, even to this day, this is the 23rd year in which the word of the Lord has come to me, and I have spoken to you, rising early and speaking, but you have not listened. And the Lord has sent to you all his servants, the prophets, rising early and sending them, but you have not listened, nor inclined your ear to hear. They said, repent now, every one of his evil way and his evil doings, and dwell in the land that the Lord has given to you and your fathers forever and ever. Do not go after other gods to serve them and worship them, and do not provoke me to anger with the works of your hands, and I will not harm you. Yet you have not listened to me, says the Lord, that you might provoke me to anger with the works of your hands to your own hurt. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, because you have not heard my words, behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, says the Lord, and Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, will bring them against this land, against its inhabitants, and against these nations all around, and will utterly destroy them and make them an astonishment, a hissing, and perpetual desolations. Moreover, I will take from them the voice of mirth and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, the sound of the millstones and the light of the lamp. And this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. We saw that the vision of the figs in chapter 24 came to Jeremiah soon after Nebuchadnezzar's second attack on Jerusalem in 597 BC. The message from the Lord to Jeremiah recorded here in chapter 25 is 8 years earlier, as we can determine from verses 1 through 3. That year would have been 605 BC. It was during that year that Nebuchadnezzar defeated Pharaoh Necho at the Battle of Carchemish. You can imagine how everyone in the kingdom of Judah was wondering at that time what was in store for them. would Nebuchadnezzar come against Jerusalem? In this message from the Lord, Jeremiah gave the people the answer. Yes, Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonian army would attack and conquer Judah and Jerusalem because of the nation's sin of not listening to the true prophets of the Lord. Verses 4 through 6. Because the people would not listen to the Lord and would not turn away from their idolatry and other evil ways, the Lord would allow their destruction as well as the destruction of all the surrounding idolatrous nations. Verses 7 through 9. All joy and normal life would come to an end in Judah. Verse 10. And the nation would go into captivity in Babylon for 70 years. Verse 11. Moreover, I will take from them the voice of mirth and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, the sound of the millstones and the light of the lamp. And this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. Later that very same year, 605 BC, Nebuchadnezzar made his move on Jerusalem and Judah. Daniel and others were taken into captivity in this first attack by Nebuchadnezzar, as we mentioned. It was the beginning of the end. We know from 2 Chronicles chapter 36 and verse 21 that the reason for 70 years was because Israel had failed to keep 70 sabbatical years in the land. They deliberately disobeyed the Lord in this matter. I'm reading from 2 Chronicles chapter 36, verses 20 and 21. And those who escaped from the sword, Nebuchadnezzar carried away to Babylon, where they became servants to him and his sons until the rule of the kingdom of Persia, to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, until the land had enjoyed her Sabbaths. As long as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbath to fulfill 70 years. From 2 Chronicles chapter 36, verses 20 and 21. The Jewish captivity in Babylon would be for 70 years. Now, what about practical application? Your boss is God's servant. Your boss is God's servant. Now, you may say at this point, no way. You don't know my boss. He's an atheist with a foul mouth and a corrupt mind and quite unethical in the way he runs his business. Well, now let me ask you, is he or she worse than Nebuchadnezzar? I don't think so. And yet God calls Nebuchadnezzar his servant here in verse 9 of chapter 25. At this point, Nebuchadnezzar was a pagan Babylonian and quite unaware that God was using him as his servant. Now, it's true, later, Nebuchadnezzar did become a believer. Read Daniel chapter 4 in this connection. God also called Cyrus, the pagan Persian emperor, his servant in Isaiah chapters 44 and 45. So why not your boss? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15 says that all things are for your sake. God can use anyone and anything as his servant. God works all things together for the believer's good. Romans 8, 28. So if you are a believer, remember, your boss is God's servant.